The reading today is taken from Romans chapters 1 and 2, and Graham is going to be speaking with his sermon entitled The Christmas Spirit. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
The presentation that you just saw gives us a powerful and a provocative view of the world, because sometimes we can lose perspective. We just see our own little world and we can't see the bigger picture. It tells us two things that are interesting. One, it gives us a picture of what this world actually looks like. And secondly, it helps to show where we fit into that big picture. Did you see things like if the world was shrunk down, miniaturized to 100 people and you have an internet connection, you're one in three. Or the idea that said if you have a bed to live in and you keep your food refrigerated and you've got a roof over your head, you're better off than 75% of the people in this world. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? There are some ideas that have become so deeply ingrained in us that we don't even challenge our own thinking. There's so much a part and permeate who we are and what we're about that we don't even challenge our own thinking in these areas. One of these ideas is that we live in a material world. We live in this material world, and the world basically falls into two categories in this material world. There are the material things that are owned, and then there are those who do the owning. The material stuff that is owned, we just call that stuff. There's the stuff that's owned. And then there's those who do the owning, and we say they are persons. And this is what kind of comprises this material world. Now, the interesting thing is, that's a concept that for most of us, we just accept that and we live with that idea that stuff is owned and we're owners, and ownership is very much a part of who we are. We own stuff. But you gotta understand that historically, people haven't always thought that way. You know, when Europeans came to this island of Australia and they planted a flag and kind of like, hey, this is ours, we own it. The people that were already living here, they didn't have that same concept that, hey, you know, you can own land, you can own the land, it belongs to somebody. There's a second idea that follows closely on this first idea, that there's stuff, and then there's us as owners. And here's this second idea, and it says this. The quality and the quantity of the stuff that we accumulate reflects our worth as a person. The quality and quantity of the stuff that we can get into our lives, if we can get more stuff, then that is a reflection of our worth as a person. We're in the midst of a global crisis right now. A global economic crisis. You know what this global economic crisis is that 4 months ago we woke up and we realized we didn't own as much stuff as we thought we did. We've lost stuff. We own stuff. We don't own that much stuff anymore. And that's a crisis. Why is it a crisis? Because we have a world that tells us that life is about the accumulation of stuff. We need to get stuff. We need to get hold of stuff and hang on to it. It's a crisis. And yet, did you see the slide? Six people own 59% of all the wealth in this world. So who's it a crisis for? The other 94%? Or for the six people? Is life about owning stuff? Think of Francis Assisi. He was an interesting guy. He didn't own a lot of stuff. He didn't have shoes. He had a robe. He didn't carry any money, had no silver or gold. He kept a little bread, and usually the birds had been picking at the bread. What do you do with a guy who doesn't really have any stuff? One day he's walking along, and some robbers accosted him. What do you do to a man who has almost no stuff? Well, they took his robe. So there he is. It was winter. There was snow on the ground. And here's what the story says, that as Francis Assisi walked away from these robbers, they heard him singing, walking in the snow naked, and they hear him singing, What do we do with somebody like that? You know, he doesn't have hardly any stuff, and then what little stuff he has gets taken from him, and he walks away singing. The passage that was read for us out of Romans says this: be not conformed to this world, the pattern of this world. The idea is that there's this, that word conformed means there's a mold that the world's trying to place upon us. You think of like a jelly mold where you put the gelatin in, you add the water, and then you let it set, and then you pull it out, and it's a reflection of the mold. The jelly actually takes the shape of the mold. That's exactly what it's saying. It's saying there's a world out here, the way a world thinks, and it's trying to get us into that pattern of how they think. But here's how the passage comes back, and it says, but that is not for you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To think differently. The world says, hey, it's all, life is about getting stuff. The challenge for us is to think differently about life. To not be conformed to that pattern, that way of thinking. You know, the old saying is that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Do we flatter the world by imitating their thoughts? Practicing what they practice and becoming like them? What about becoming imitators of Jesus? It's not about flattery, that's about glory. Giving glory to Him. Are we able to represent a different set of values? The set of values and ideas that this world functions under, and then there's us. Are we able to actually represent a whole different way of living and thinking that counters the way this world would operate? Is it possible? It's Christmas. Would it be reflected in the way we celebrate Christmas and the way we go about doing Christmas? Or do we just flow with the stream and just become just like everybody else? Jesus taught that the world is not always as it appears. I want to read from Luke 12. Here's what Jesus states. Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." I want to repeat that because this is so critical, because Jesus is going against exactly what our world tells us. He says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus is saying, there are people who will tell you, the more you have, the better person you are. And Jesus is saying, think again. There's this idea that Jesus introduces that, yes, we live in a world of stuff. You know, things, material things, like this shirt. But Jesus would go on and say, yes, in this world of stuff, there's also true stuff. This true stuff that's some immaterial. Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and decay can't corrupt, rust can't get to it, thieves can't break in and take it. One of the things that Jesus does in distinguishing stuff from true stuff is, here's what he says. He says, you know this thing about true stuff? True stuff is the stuff that can't be taken from you. You think about this. Integrity and character.
who you are deep inside, that cannot be taken from you. You can give it away. You can sell it, but no one can take your character. No one can take your integrity. It's true stuff. Do you remember the story that Jesus, 6 days before Passover, where he is going to die, he's gone to Jerusalem. He goes to Bethany. I think Jesus goes there because he knows that's where he's going to be valued and he's going to be appreciated as he's looking at this horrible week ahead of him. There's a woman there and she has a jar of perfume. It's called nard. It's expensive stuff. This is the kind of stuff that you would work a whole year to obtain. It's costly stuff. You know what it says? She broke it open and she poured it all out on the feet of Jesus. And you know that even the followers of Jesus, the disciples, they said, "Hey, woman, you just wasted your stuff. That's expensive stuff, takes a year, you know, it's expensive stuff, and you wasted it just like that. It's all gone." And Jesus steps up, you know what? He says, like, "Back off." He said, "She did something beautiful for me. The poor you'll always have. I won't be here with you all the time." You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, you think it's a waste, but she took this stuff and she actually used it to glorify Jesus and she turned it into true stuff. She transformed stuff into true stuff. Same place, same setting, Bethany. House of Mary and Martha. Jesus is coming over. And Martha's so busy with the stuff. The food that needs to be prepared. The dinner that, you know, all getting. So she's got all this stuff that she's working on. And where is Mary? She's seated at the feet of Jesus. And Martha is so convinced that she's right. She says, "Hey, Jesus, tell Mary to come help me with all this stuff." You know, it's like we live in a world of stuff and she's just sitting there. You remember what Jesus said? He said, "Mary has made the better choice. And get this, and it won't be taken from her." Think about it. She's listening to Jesus. She's allowing the words of the Savior to sink into her heart. She's spending time with Jesus. She's now gaining true stuff. And Jesus says, it won't be taken from her. This Christmas, are we going to be engaged with just stuff? The giving and receiving of more stuff? Or will it be about true stuff? The part of us in here that never dies. And the stuff that cannot be taken from us. The church at times has bought into the seduction of stuff. You know that? It's seductive when we get sucked into stuff. And the church is guilty as well. Do you know that in the first century they didn't even have buildings like this? The church didn't really own stuff. What they had, they were just as quickly as they received it, they were giving it back out again. The church didn't really have a lot of stuff. somewhere something changed, right? I was reading this quote from a book called The Money Game. The minister's name is Bishop Lawrence, and he presided over a congregation of wealthy individuals that included J.P. Morgan, who at the turn of the 20th century would have been one of the wealthiest men in the world. And here's the quote. It says, Bishop Lawrence was J.P. Morgan's preacher, and on Sunday, the bishop would look down at the assembled Wall Street tycoons in individually endowed pews and say, godliness is in league with riches. It is only to the moral person that wealth comes. Material prosperity makes the nation sweeter, more joyous, more unselfish, and more Christ-like. So here's the minister who looked down at the people and told them exactly what they wanted to hear. Isn't it great that you've got so much stuff? Stuff is great. And Jesus came back and said, what about true stuff? Not just stuff here. We're stewards of stuff here. What about true stuff? Jesus made an interesting comment once where he said, you cannot serve God and money. Think about that. He didn't say it's difficult. He said, firstly, it's impossible. But did you hear what he said? He said, you cannot serve money. And you're saying, hey, wait a minute. I thought I was the owner. I thought I possessed it. Jesus is saying when we get it wrong, we actually become owned by the things we possess. We begin to serve that stuff. The stuff either serves the Lord or we're serving it. Think about that. I grew up listening to a singer-songwriter named Jackson Browne. Guy's a seeker. He's interested in life, and he wrote the song called The Rebel Jesus. He's not a believer. He's actually writing to people like us because he obviously reads the Gospels and he reads about Jesus and he's saying there's something here that doesn't quite connect as I read about Jesus and what he's about and I look at the churches and I'm thinking, what are you guys reading? What are you looking at? We've got the song. Listen carefully to the words. I want you to hear it this morning. The Rebel Jesus. Let's hear it.
How the streets are filled with laughter and light, and the music of the season. The merchants' windows are all bright with the faces of the children and the families hurrying to their homes as the sky darkens and freezes. We'll be gathering around their hearths and tables, giving thanks for God's graces and the birth of the rebel Jesus. Oh, they call him by the Prince of Peace, and they call him by the Savior, and they pray to him upon the seas and in every bold endeavor, and they fill his churches with their pride and gold as their faith in him increases. But they've turned the nature that I worship in from a temple to a robber's den. in the words of the rebel Jesus. The same as the rebel Jesus. But pardon me if I have seemed to take the throne of judgment, for I've no wish to come between this day and your enjoyment. In a life of hardship and of earthly toil, there's a need for anything that frees us. So I bid you pleasure and I bid you cheer from a heathen and a pagan on the side of the rebel Jesus.
Looking at Jesus, and he's saying, I'm on the side of Jesus. Are you guys? Are you guys hearing his teaching? Because I'm looking at it. Is that what you're about? Do we represent a different set of values, of values of Jesus? Or are we going to be about stuff? Christmas is coming up, the giving and receiving of stuff. How do we make it about true stuff? How do we celebrate in a way that reflects that this world is not just about stuff? There's something greater, there's this true stuff. You know, the amazing thing is that we live in a society that they understand that stuff is not going to solve their problems. Deep down, people get it. That's what drives this world, but they realize this thing is bankrupt. This idea, this concept that if we just have stuff, our lives will be right. Think about this. How do we understand death if life is just about the accumulation of stuff? Calvin Miller writes, death makes a comedy of the discrepancy between what we say we love and what we really love. Dying is the end of all ownership, and if owning is life's greatest station, then death is life's greatest tragedy. Death can never be victorious to the committed materialist. It is rather a bleak disinheritance.
If life is all about the accumulation of stuff, death is just the taking away of all that. This is why Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, true life. Life that's not just connected to stuff, but it's connected to true stuff. It's a life so powerful that it breaks through death and continues on. How is this true life reflected in the way we live right now? We don't get seduced by stuff. Just mere stuff.
I had a week with a man named Max Dupree. He's written books on leadership called Leadership is Jazz, Leadership is an Art. And some of you heard me tell the story where he was talking about, he had a daughter who had hooked up with this guy. She had fallen pregnant. He was a loser. And a couple months into the pregnancy, he just skipped out of town. They never saw or heard from him again. 5.5 months into her pregnancy, she gave birth prematurely, and this baby was born that was just tiny, tiny little baby. Like 2 pounds. At the time, was the smallest baby ever born in that state. And Max Dupree was telling the story about how he was there comforting his daughter, and there's his little granddaughter. And they named her Zoe, which means life. It's the Greek word for life. And there was this nurse that was there, this African-American nurse, and she was wise. And here was little Zoe with all these tubes and wires attached to her. And she had the best stuff the world had to offer, all the greatest technology that New York City could offer. It's right there attached to Zoe. She's got the best stuff in the world. And this wise old nurse comes up and she takes Max Dupree and she says, that baby could go this way, could go that way. It's very, very close. And that baby needs a daddy and she ain't got one. So you're going to be that daddy. Because the mom was still recovering. So that nurse said, every day you're going to scrub up and you're going to come here and you're going to take your finger and you're going to stroke her tiny little back and you're going to say these words, Zoe, we love you. You're a part of our family. We're praying for you and you need to get well. Because you are so precious to us. And she said, you connect your touch with your voice. And so he did that. And she pulled through. And she's now a healthy and happy teenage girl. But it wasn't the stuff that pulled her through. It was this true stuff. About being accepted and belonging and being valued, hearing the voice of the Father. What do people need in this world? They could go either way. They don't need more stuff. They need the touch and the voice of the Father. They need grace. They need to know they're accepted, that they're valued for just who they are. That's the world of true stuff. That's what this world needs. What's our Christmas going to be like? Can I offer just a few suggestions? One is to say that we need to know when to say when on our spending. Simply because you have the money to spend doesn't necessarily make it right.
Calvin used to teach that we should always work a little harder than we need to pay our own bills and to live off, so we could have a little extra. Not so that we could have extra so we could give ourselves a luxury or do that little thing, but that we'd always have a little bit more so we'd have something to give to those in need around us. That's a life of true stuff. Where's your focus this Christmas? Is it on giving and receiving of stuff? What about taking on a compassion child or being a World Vision sponsor? I know many of you already are. Thinking about some of those people, the 14 people in the world of 100 who are hungry or malnourished. What about them this Christmas? What about doing something to celebrate Christmas for those less fortunate? We have a Christmas lunch that we participate with the mayor, where families forego their time on Christmas Day to be serving others. Many of you have volunteered for this over the year. If you're interested, just indicate on your card. But I'm asking some of you that had volunteered in the past, maybe you don't volunteer, so we can let somebody else have a go. Are we going to make Christmas about us and about our stuff? Can we make it about others? In the earlier service, there was a man here named Yun. He's a Korean man who's studying here. His wife and children are back in Korea. And I was asking him, he normally comes to the 6:30 service, I was asking him, well, where will you be on Christmas Day? He's got nowhere to go. So we open up our homes and we say, look, if there's somebody here in this community who has no family or no place really to go, be with the family of God. Maybe we can do that this Christmas. On Christmas Day, we take up a special offering. Last year, we took it up for the scholarship program, primarily for the Rahama graduates. This year, we're going to be focusing on Esther House, which is a ministry to young girls here in WA, in the greater Perth area, young girls who have been in trouble, have had issues, need a place to stay. So we're going to take up an offering for them, the less fortunate, those that have issues. We want to make it about true stuff, about compassion and about grace, about kindness. That's what Christmas ought to be about, true stuff, right? The world says to own much is to be much. If we own a lot, we're somebody. Where will our lives reflect our value and pursuit of not just stuff, but true stuff? The stuff of character, the stuff of the soul. Listen to the words of Jesus, and I'm closing with this. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a person to gain the whole world, to get all this stuff, and yet forfeit his soul? Miss out on true stuff, true life. Would you bow with me? Is your life and your celebration this year reflect the values of Jesus, about true stuff. Stuff that isn't bought and sold, but is given by grace. And the stuff that can't be taken away. We can't lose it. As your heads are bowed, just reflect on your life and what the Lord is saying to you and calling you, that our lives would reflect the pursuit of the true stuff, real life. Father, thank you that you have given us true life. And may that be reflected in how we live, the choices we make, that we want to store up for ourselves riches in heaven, the things that we can't lose and can't be taken from us, true riches. True stuff. Lord, thank you for these, your people. Guide us, Lord, that our minds might be renewed each and every day. I pray this in Jesus' name.